Wrestling is a production of Sports Spectrum.
My freshman year of college, there was a month where both my grandmothers passed away. I'm in Michigan, I'm from Texas. I had just had my right shoulder surgically repaired, was lonely, was isolated, and God brought me to my knees at a moment. I was in a parking garage, it was nighttime, and I just started crying.
Hey friends, I'm Jade McCarthy. You just had a chance to listen to Nick Foles talking briefly about a moment and a night that changed everything in the course of his life. And we are so excited here to launch this 7-week series, I Once Was. And Nick Foles is the first athlete that we are talking to share these stories. You can, of course, catch the videos. They are terrific. I encourage you to do so. And stay here to listen to the podcast because we go a little bit deeper. And I have a chance to talk to each of these athletes along the course of the seven-week series about not only that moment, their best day ever, if you will, but how that moment has changed so much of their life as it has followed them throughout the course of their life. So without further ado, I really just want to get to the conversation that I shared with Nick Foles about that moment in time in a parking garage where he just felt like he couldn't do it on his own. Well, such a pleasure to bring Nick Foles into the conversation to expound upon that day when he decided to give his life to Christ. Take me into that time, Nick, and like where you were mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Yeah, I was definitely broken. God had sort of planted seeds throughout my life through my mom and my family going to church, my grandfather. There were so many seeds planted to where I was a freshman in college and I was broken. I had my shoulder repaired my senior year of high school. Had to miss my senior year of basketball season, which probably was my favorite sport at the time. Probably still is, but I love football too. Different things happened in my personal life. A couple of grandparents passed away in my first month of college. I was in East Lansing, Michigan. I'm from Texas. I remember going to Michigan as a kid, and I told my dad, I was like, I don't ever want to live in Michigan. And God sort of had this sense of humor, and he's like, I'm bringing you to Michigan. And so I was just so broken. There were so many different things. Being a college freshman, trying to rehab my shoulder, was getting stronger, but it wasn't what it used to be. Waking up at 5 a.m. to go lift at 6 while not finishing my study day till 10 p.m. because we're in study hall. And then doing all these, learning a new playbook. There were so many things going on in my life that there was basically an evening where I was going to go. My dad had an apartment there because he wanted family when they came to games. He was really excited. Like, I was, first athlete to go to college and my family, to play college sports. My mom went to college. She'd be upset if I didn't say she graduated 3 years from Texas. She's the smart one. But I remember I was staying at the apartment because my roommate was doing something, and I remember sitting in my dad's vehicle, and I was just by myself, and I started crying. I was so broken, and I just remember saying, like, all right, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why you brought me here. I don't know why these things are happening, but I do know this. I can't do this apart from you. I give you everything. I don't even know what that means, but I give you everything. I believe in your son. My mom had packed a little Bible in my bag. I picked it up and I left it in my backpack, and I read Psalms, Proverbs, and the book of John. And didn't really, they were beautiful. Tried Genesis, tried a little bit of the Old Testament. And then I just, someone had recommended Psalms, Proverbs, book of John.
And just dive in.
Just dive in. And, that was the beginning of everything. But before that, I thought I was a believer and I thought I was a Christian. If you asked me, I was a Christian. Had a cross necklace on, went to church, went through confirmation. And maybe there were seeds planted, but I hadn't surrendered everything to him until he brought me down and basically ridded me of everything that gave me my pride and ego. He just took it all away and was like, all right, what do you have left? And I was like, nothing. I need you.
Did you feel or see a change immediately when you surrendered to him, or was it more of a gradual experience for you, Nick?
The biggest thing that changed was I was still really struggling being in East Lansing and going to school. It's a beautiful school, great school. Just being 18 years old at the time, I was there for a purpose and I didn't realize it. It was all very, very difficult, but there was always a sense of peace inside of me that kept me going. I was no longer alone, though I was broken. Like, I wasn't healed, I was broken, but I was able to put one foot in front of the other because God, through his word, through the Bible, was giving me enough peace to just survive the day. And my dad was wonderful too. After my first semester there, I wanted to leave. And he's like, I'm not going to let you leave. You have to finish the spring semester and you have to grind through it. And then if you feel the same way, we'll talk. And there was a practice in spring ball where it just was going horrible. I didn't enjoy it. I was struggling. I could barely, I didn't have any like energy to even throw a football. I couldn't, and I was practicing, I was fighting through it. And I don't know what happened. Maybe a coach yelled at me, or maybe I threw an interception, or maybe I threw a ball right into the dirt. Something happened, and I remember tears started coming to my eyes, and I was like, this is it. I'm done. I don't ever want to touch a ball. I'm done. And I was going to take off my helmet and just walk off the field. I was done. But for some reason, my dad was up there, and he was watching that practice, and I took a couple of steps, and I remember looking at him, and he looked at me, and he knew what I was feeling. I could see it in his eyes, and I stopped and said, I have to finish this. Like, my dad didn't graduate high school. He didn't have anything as a kid. He worked his butt off to provide for us. He built these restaurants. He failed at these restaurants. Then he succeeded at these restaurants. I can't give up. Everything my mom went through as a kid, putting herself through college, giving me an opportunity. I just remember in that moment, I just stopped and I finished the practice. And I told him after, I was going to quit. I didn't have anything left in me. I hate football. I hate it here. And he's like, just finish it. And I finished it. And he allowed me to step away from East Lansing. Coach D'Antonio was wonderful. But through all that hurt that I still even talk about it now, like I feel those emotions, God brought me to faith in his son, Jesus Christ, in those moments. So East Lansing is arguably the most beautiful place I've ever been because it served its purpose in my life.
Mm. It's amazing how through all of that, God placed your dad there that day that you were just going to walk off the field to, as a reminder to you that you needed to finish that semester and what he had done. And, you know, God can place all those different people in different places for us throughout the course of our lives. And sometimes we realize it in that moment. And sometimes we don't realize it until much later. But when you reflect on that and how you've grown and how you now, you know, publicly profess your faith, like, how do you sort of internalize everything that has happened between those years and where you are now, Nick?
I think, you know, there's times where I feel like I'm walking really close to the Lord, and there's times where the Lord has me in a desert season where I can recognize those moments more now than I could then, because I didn't know what it meant to follow Christ. Like, I didn't know. I think so many people misinterpret, like, all right, you're a believer in Christ, life's good now. Like, everything's going to go the right way. You're going to win the lottery. There's going to be no sickness. There's going to be no disease. There's going to be no loss. And, you know, there's going to be great things in life. There's going to be great, you know, there's been so many amazing things happen in my life that are like mountaintop experiences, but I only know them as mountaintop experiences because there's tough times in the world. There's bad, but I learned more through the struggles. Like, East Lansing that year was such a pivotal part of my life that started shaping me into who I was going to become and I'm still becoming. And then when I went to the University of Arizona, the first woman I saw at the University of Arizona turned out to be my now wife, but I did not know it at the time because I just thought she was gorgeous. And I, you know, but God had a purpose. Like, I walked in to do my physical, Tori walked out of the weight room. I looked at her and was blown away, but then I went about my life. And I had mentioned her to my dad. Like, I just saw the most gorgeous girl I've ever seen in my life. Because he asked if I was okay in Arizona and stuff. I'm going to be good. I just saw, like, a 10. Like, I cannot believe it. I'm going to be just out of the University of Arizona. But I didn't know then. Like, now I know, like, every little thing that happens in our life, God is working for our good. And I know you hear that scripture, Romans 8:28. But I think we have to find hope in the mountaintop experiences and the desert seasons. But listen, God is always trying to shape us. Like, I don't care if you win a Super Bowl or you don't play football at all or you do this. Like, God is always shaping us. And it's usually most likely in the tough times, because that's unfortunately where we tend to turn to Him more than in the good times. But I recognize that more now than I did then, but it's still a journey. I don't have this thing of life figured out. If my wife walked in here, she'd be like, "You sure doesn't? You sure doesn't?" So, but I try to find humor where I can.
And I think that goes a long way. I mean, trying to have that perspective of being able to laugh at the situation, to be able to laugh at yourself and get through those tough times, right? It definitely helps along the way. And I think that's all part of being refined, right? It's being able to, just like rest in His peace, even when it is really hard, because like you said, the struggles don't go away. But I think what happens over time is that when we have the East Lansing experience, like you did, and everybody's looks different, what we recognize is then when we go through the next tough time, God got us through that tough time. So we can fall back on it. And our faith just keeps building on those experiences, like you build the blocks of a tower that, you know, your toddler makes.
Yeah. No, that's good. I think you just... you keep growing, you keep building. It's like if you go out and run a mile and you haven't ran it forever, it's probably going to be pretty hard. But if you go out and you keep building, you're going to run further and further and further. Running might become easier, but still hard to a certain extent, because there's more, you start pushing yourself more in life. I think in the faith journey, you know, God places you in different positions to grow your faith. And then eventually you're sharing your faith. And then eventually you're probably discipling someone. Then you're giving, you know, tithing, and you're giving, and you're stretching, and you're doing different things that you never thought you were doing. And that's sort of like your spiritual engine that's growing, but also knowing that no matter what you do, you're not going to earn your salvation. Like, it's already been done through Christ. Like, you've already won. Yeah, we're still on this earth to do the will of God. And we have to realize, like, it's a broken world. We're flawed humans, but we have a Savior, and we want to share that with others.
Yeah. And I think it's so powerful that you can sit here today and say that, you know, what you experienced to be a very difficult place in East Lansing is now arguably the most beautiful place, because that is where you came to that recognition that you really had to surrender to Christ. I think that's really powerful stuff, Nick. Thank you so much for being here, Nick Foles. We always love you sharing your story with Sports Spectrum and being a part of everything that we do. So, you know, continued best to you, blessings on the growing family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, always just a pleasure to have a conversation with Nick Foles, and especially this one. You know, I think the thing that strikes me about all of these moments of I Once Was in this series is that they are game-changing moments in our lives. And that has been the case for everybody that we have this conversation with throughout the course of this series. And that's part of why we are just so excited and so blessed to share these conversations with you over these next 7 weeks, because they are all game changers. And part of this is, we hope that you will go out there and be a game changer too by sharing your own I Once Was moment and your own I Once Was story. You can find us on social media, tell us about it, share about it. You can head to our website, sportsspectrum.com/IOW, I Once Was/IOW. You'll find shirts and apparel that you can wear. And the reason that we want you to do that is because I know, like, if I go out with a shirt on that has, you know, some type of verse or something on it, it sparks conversation. People come up to you and go, oh, where'd you get that? And then you get to chat with them about, oh, well, I'm a Christian. And, you know, this was something that is important to me. And so it sparks those conversations. And we hope that that is exactly what this series will do, that the videos that you'll find on the website will hopefully encourage you, and the podcast in this space will do the same. And again, like, I can't encourage you enough that the more that we all talk about our own I once was moment, the more that we can help encourage others along the way. So we thank you for your time listening here. We're excited for the next 7 weeks as we dive into this. And we really look forward to you being here with us along the way.